Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And welcome on in, welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. Make sure to smash that like button. Share the stream, helps out with this elusive algorithm. He is Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this Thursday installment of the show. A little bit of this, a little bit of that here early with the jump. And then a quarter past the hour, head coach Matt Wilbur of the Northern State University men's basketball squad. He'll be joining us. Of course, they just announced on their X account a lot of guys putting pen to paper, so we'll talk about that and what his summer looks like. Probably the schedule not that far off from being released as well. So a lot of things to get to here with Coach Wilbur in the next 15 minutes. David Tewksbury alongside the Cobra. Matt McClure, how are you, sir?
Doing good. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Very, very well. Happy Thursday indeed. And we're talking off the air about the Open. Of course, that's going on here in your old neck of the woods. And tell you what, you've got J.J. Spahn right now at 4-under par. We're golf people here around these parts. And by the way, check out the SDGA Junior Tour. That the Northeast leg yesterday was at the Whetstone Creek golf course there in Milbank.
I played there once.
I was going to say, I was going to ask you if you've played over there. Nice course?
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's good. An 18-hole, tough. It's a little short, but it's a nice course.
A lot of par threes then? Or?
Yeah, there's a good amount of par threes. It's been a while since I played. I played, I want to say, a year and a half ago. I liked it, though. It was a little short. It was a little tough. There's a lot of dog legs. So you got to be pinpoint on your accuracy.
Don't you love a par three?
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I just love a par three because on the off chance of just dumb luck and prayer, maybe you get a great shot. Heck, you might even get a hole in one. You never know. The chances of that are very, very small, but I just love a par three.
That's why they say always film your par threes just in case. You never know when that hole in one could be happening. I've personally never had one. I like hearing other people's stories.
Sure.
But you have to. That's why they say make sure you're filming your par threes. Because if you can, that way you could, because you could maybe get a hole in one and you're just playing by yourself. And you're like, oh, I got a hole in one, and no one will believe you. You got to get it on video.
I was going to say, shout out to our boy Isaac Morgan. We were talking with him on Friday when we were playing with Northern State football, and he was sharing his story about his hole in one. He's had multiple, right?
Yeah, I think
two
he
of
said,
them.
I think he said two, which is awesome.
Infinitely more than us, which is two more than both of us combined. But yeah, he said the first one that he had, nobody was around him. Of course, nobody believes him. Then he had another one, and then he actually had people around him. So I'll just take an entire lifetime of golf, and I'm probably never going to have one. But
and we almost saw one in person. We've talked about this before.
I mean,
we were, it was centimeters away. I mean, we went up to it, and we're like, how did that not go in?
Which makes no sense because, by the way, for those of you new to the program, we're talking about our putting for pause foursome with Matt McClure, yours truly, Clayton Randall, and Sam Mastin. Now, Sam Mastin was literally so close from a hole-in-one, and I don't think you'll ever be more angry at a shot that's that good in your entire life.
Yeah, probably one of the best golf shots he's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably like, I hate that shot.
Yes.
Because it was so close to being a hole-in-one. I've never even been close.
Mm-mm.
I've been like 8 feet, and that's a great shot. But I've never been within a foot of the hole on a par three. And another thing, I like hitting over water on par threes.
I do too.
I think that adds to it.
It adds a little something, as that line from Austin Powers, I think it's Dr. Evil, he says, a little something the French call a certain I don't know what. You know, it's one of those things, little je ne sais quoi, as they say. I love a hole just off of the water there. There's something to it.
And I like hitting over water. Another really fun one is if you can find like an island green,
mm-hmm,
where there's water all around and you just got to plop it on. It's a hard, there's usually like sand in the front. You can always miss front, but if you miss left, right, or back, it goes in the water. Those are always kind of fun. The island green par threes as well.
I'm not saying what Isaac Morgan and John Murdy need to think about, but if you want to make things interesting,
have a 19th hole.
Yeah,
right?
A little 19th hole. We'll find a place to put it. Absolutely. He's Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Toss this thing skyward here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420, 98.5. And to be quite frank, I'm not very good at the island hole or shooting over water.
Oh, no.
But it looks cool. It looks pretty.
Yeah, it's good for the background on your phone, the wallpaper.
You know, now that you mention that, I was golfing, must have been last summer, two summers? I think it was last summer. And I had a very, very good shot on that water hole at Lee Park, as a matter of fact. Now, I can't recall if I birdied that hole or I ended up parring it, but it was a very, very solid shot. I did take a photo of it.
Yep.
So if you want to go ahead and take a peek at that, hey, that's probably, what, 10 feet?
That's 10 to 15 feet,
something
for sure,
like that, away from the hole. So that's my shot of a lifetime on 15?
Mm-hmm, 15. Because then it's that long par 5 on 16.
Yeah.
And then the two par 4s on 17 and 18. I also like 18 on Lee Park, too.
I do, too.
That's another short par 4 I like.
Very, very easily drivable par 4. I love when you're golfing with your buddies and you get to a place and they're like, yeah, it's an easily drivable par 4. That makes me feel good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a chance for some goodness here. Hey, speaking of the Open, we were talking about that a little bit to start here and at the outset of the show, off the air, too. That's, of course, around your old neck of the woods, Oakmont Country Club there in PA. And let's take a trip down memory lane back to the year 2000, Y2K. It was a very, very simple time in life. You know, you had the Y2K bug. That was a big thing back in the day. All the computers had to be off, or they had to get their firmware updated, that sort of thing. Well, back in the day, Tiger Woods, he won the 2000 U.S. Open. Get this, he finished 12 under par. Next closest player, Ernie Els, 3 over par. He won by 15 strokes. That's like some Olivia Braun leaderboard stuff that we saw this last spring with her.
I actually just watched a documentary on that on the Tiger 2000, just because of how no one could believe how dominant he was in that tournament. The competition just had absolutely no chance. That's what makes it so special. And people were just in awe watching him play at that 2000 U.S. Open.
I mean, these are not slappies. Ernie Els, Lee Westwood, Pedro Harrington, these are guys that are pretty good. They're on tour, for God's sake.
They've won a couple majors.
Yeah, and Tiger was just basically laughing past them back in the day, back in the year 2000. So we've been talking about this for the last couple of days here. You mentioned it on Monday on The Jump. I mentioned it yesterday as well. The on-court decals, or lack of a better term, the decals there on the NBA floor. And yesterday was game 3, of course, Pacers and Oklahoma City Thunder. And during the pregame show there, they had the commissioner on, Adam Silver. And did you see this, what he said, why they don't have decals on there?
I don't know what he said,
oh,
but
boy.
I was watching it.
It was pretty phenomenal. Quote, people don't realize they went away about a decade ago. They were slippery. We're back to doing them and adding them virtually, close quote. Now, Matt, help me on this one, but I'm old enough to remember. They changed the entire floor for this in-season tournament.
Yep, the NBA Cup.
The NBA Cup. So, spare me. They're slippery. You change all of the floors in the entire league for like 3 weeks or however long it is, but you can't do it for the final. Oh, they're slippery. It's like, you're lying. Everyone knows you're lying, and he just keeps going in on it. He continues to double down.
Hey, double down. You got to respect that.
Oh.
And he tried to throw Kendrick Perkins under the bus there on the pregame as well, because he's like, hey, Perk, remember, you played on the NBA Finals. You thought they were slippery, right? You're lying on national television, man. And the fact that they're acting like it's such a big deal as well with the we could be in the works in a couple years. You're telling me it's got to take a couple years to put a decal on the court when you got the in-season cup? That's the big thing that I didn't understand. It's like you got this in-season tournament, and every team, all 30 teams in the NBA have a court, and you can't do it for the NBA Finals. And by the way, the NBA Finals decal on the jerseys is like on the back near the neck, so you can't even see it. I've talked about it a couple times already. The presentation of the NBA Finals stinks. You can't tell if it's a big game or not, and it's because of the presentation. Forget the games. The games have been pretty good. I think competition, the style these two teams have played, it's been fun, the games.
Sure.
But everything else about it hasn't been good, so I guess I shouldn't be complaining because the product on the floor has been good.
But the floor itself.
But the floor stinks.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
And then he's trying to make up these excuses. You're lying on national television right now, Adam Silver.
Unbelievable. And to me, it's just one of those scenarios where, and I'm falling into a trap that I see on social media, but can we get a commissioner that loves the league? You know, is there any doubt that Adam Silver is all in on basketball all the time? It's like, you want to put the best possible product out there. I've seen the same thing with the NHL and Gary Bettman.
Mm-hmm.
And Roger Goodell, you know, he was kind of that middle-of-the-road guy a little bit to a certain degree. He came in and he was just ruling with an iron fist. Everyone's getting fined. Everyone's getting suspended earlier. And, you know, MLB.
What was that guy's name? Oh, Manfred.
Yeah, Rob Manfred. You know, so it's like, can we get some commissioners in there that really, I mean, just die hard, love, bleed that sport? I don't get that sense with Adam Silver.
No, I think he's trying. He's trying to make it more competitive, the All-Star game. That's that cracks me up as well. We're worried about the All-Star game being more competitive than all 30 teams being competitive.
You got 82 games to figure it out. We got to worry about the All-Star game. That's what we really got to put our focus on.
Yeah, it's like, hey, how about you just go back to the East-West and tell the guys, hey, can you give a little effort like you used to? It's not that hard. Instead, we got to do, all of these kinds of things to get it right. Remember, they were doing first to a score.
Yeah,
I thought that was dumb. Now they're doing World versus USA. Does it add a little something? Fine, but how about we worry about every team being competitive and not having a team that's got 12 wins at the end of the season?
You know what the problem is? Too much money.
Yeah.
Too much money with the athletes. Oh, you mean to tell me I got to try? Buddy, I'm making $30 million this year, and I'm already missing like a quarter of the season. I'm also making $19 million on my Nike shoe deal. And oh, by the way, I'm on that State Farm commercial. Too much do. For sure. And oh, by the way, before we bring in head coach Matt Wilbur, this came up on my feed this morning. I thought this was interesting. The NCAA is hinting at a quote-unquote positive momentum towards men's basketball moving two quarters from halves. Of course, you've got two halves, both 20 minutes. There are some grumblings that this could be a thing of the past, maybe moving to four quarters, of course, 10 minutes each.
I think they should do that. Maybe that's just me. You see it in every other sport. You see, they moved it from the women's game to the halves. College basketball is the only thing with halves outside of like rugby, soccer, and sports like that. Outside of men's basketball in college, it's halves. To me, I don't know why it's can't you just make that switch?
I really don't have a hot take on this one. I don't really have a very hard and firm opinion on it. I'm like, I can understand it that way. I can understand it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big thing they say is they want to make it worry about the help enhance the flow of the game. And I guess they say, you know, the timeouts, the media timeouts, that sort of thing. D1, it's every, I think it's 16, 12, 8, and 4.
Yeah, it's every 4 minutes.
Are the media timeouts, right? And D2, it's every 5 minutes. So
okay.
The flow of the game, that sort of thing. Yeah, maybe there's something to it, but I don't really have a very hard and fast opinion on it, I guess.
Yeah, I if they don't change it, I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, you got to change
it.
Yeah, I don't really care that much. I just think in every other level of basketball, there's four quarters.
Right.
So just change it to the four quarters.
Yeah, no uniformity. Can't figure that out quite yet, but we'll see. Could be something here in the not-too-distant future. Well, speaking of the not-too-distant future, I'll give you about 4 minutes because that's how long our break is, and then head coach Matt Wilbur, he'll be joining us live in studio after this. Sports Hubbing it up on a Thirsty Thursday installment of the Sports Hub. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Pleased to be joined live in studio by the head coach of the Northern State University Wolves men's basketball squad, Matt Wilbur. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing well.
Yeah, we're doing well.
We've got no complaints over here. You know, it's a Thirsty Thursday, but I was saying off the air, you never take us up. You don't want any coffee. You don't want any water.
Well, I just had something to drink, so I was good. I'm fired up to be here. I appreciate you guys having me over.
Absolutely. Go ahead. I was going to say, we're kind of talking off the air about the timeout situation and the quarters and halves. What's your kind of 2 cents on that?
Well, I wish it was quarters, you know, for college basketball. I mean, there, you know, we were just kind of talking. I think it's all money driven by, you know, for the timeout situation and having that, the media timeout. And if you went to quarters, you would be a media at the five-minute mark, and then you have the quarter break, then you have another five-minute mark, and it would remove one of those four-minute medias. And I saw somewhere the breakdown of billion of dollars, you know, over the course of time that would take away. And so it's all money-driven. It's not from a play style. I don't know of any college coach I've ever talked to, and I would hate to speak for everybody, that has said we prefer halves. I mean, there are so many benefits to it going to quarters with the reset of fouls, with the advancement. I mean, when from a coaching style, I mean, you have to coach your defense a certain way because you cannot be in the bonus, you know, with, you know, 10 minutes left in the half. You just can't be at 7 where they're shooting free throws every time they touch you and you touch someone. So, or the other way, when you do have somebody, you're like, hey, drive, put it on the floor and get to the rack and try to draw a foul because you're looking for that. But I do think the game would be cleaner. And I did hear you guys talking. It's the only level of basketball that has halves still. You know, every other level of basketball has quarters. And so I would like it, you know, mainly for the flow of the game and the style of play and all of that. And it's just kind of where that's at.
It's just one of those things, right, Coach, where, hey, it's the way we've always done it, so we're not going to change it. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that you were just talking about the All-Star game and the NBA and there's just so much money at stake that it is driving every decision. I mean, it's, you know, the All-Star game back in the day, those guys would win that All-Star game and get a huge bonus compared to what their salary was, so they played their tails off. And here you have contracts with professional athletes, like you are not allowed to do this in the off season because you could get hurt, and those guys aren't going to risk that's generational wealth they're risking by playing something that isn't going to affect, you know, that. So money drives everything, and I think with the NCAA rules and in men's basketball, that's it.
My Uncle Bob always used to say, money doesn't talk, it screams.
I think he was
onto something,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I got to give a big shout out to the Portal House.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You
right?
tweeted this out yesterday. The Portal House. Tell me about the Portal House.
Well,
you moved in.
I moved in. It's one of those, it's the double-edged sword. I own a house in Mitchell, South Dakota, and I'm renting one in Aberdeen. And so navigating the travel back and forth and all of that. But we're looking for places to live, and we were hosted by a supporter when we all of our coaches first got together. Coach Smith, Coach Nelson, and myself, we wanted to dive into the work, and so we were hosted helped out there. But we found a house I joke it's about a 4-iron away from my office, you know, and and so we are basically on campus. And yeah, I posted that, you know, it's more of a, hey, we're here. And there's been a lot of basketball talk. You know, we're all living together right now. Coach Nelson's wife and family will be moving in July, here in a couple of weeks. But Coach Smith, his wife lives in St. Joe's, Missouri. She's got a great job. And so him and I we're renting a house together, and we've just kind of aptly named that the Portal House, because it's been just all basketball talk. And I've joked tongue in cheek, when you see that flag waving out there, that means we had a commitment or a signing coming. So it'll wave more, but that's when we put it out there. We've just kind of thrown it out when we get some good news. So yeah, it's been good. It's been good to get into Aberdeen, and obviously I have never been too far away from Aberdeen, but never lived in town, and it's been good to, you know, get out and about. And obviously it's a great community, and we all know that, you know, that people have been here forever. But I just can't speak enough to the people of accepting us in and getting to meet people and being around. It's just been a really good transition.
It's like the Vatican or whatever. It's like got the white smoke. You got a new pope, or you got the flags out. You got a new recruit coming in.
Yeah, right. You know, I joke. You know, I get, you know, you anybody who, you know, homeowners and fathers and the stuff you do, and I'm like, you know, I've got to furnish this, you know, this house, and this is a complete rental, and it's doing a great job for what we have to. But there's just no reason for us to be in the basement of that house, so, because I don't have to store anything. And my assistant, Coach Nelson, says the reason people are scared of basements is because of a basement like we have in our house. A clean version of the movie Old School is what we've got going on right now, and a very tempered version of that. We're all just kind of, you know, it's head to the Barnett Center and get to work, and we're there, and then head back, and what are we eating, where are we eating, all that kind of stuff is going on. So most of my furnishings in there are either coming from Walmart or Menards, and trying to pinch pennies as much as we can. So but it's been good. I got a great staff. Jack Nelson and Wes Smith, and people get to know these guys, and it all very wildly different personalities on our staff, but I think it'll be a really good fit.
So I think this is a good segue. The Portal House, it looks like you guys attacked the transfer portal pretty well here.
Yeah, you know, there'll be a release coming out, and we've signed all these guys, so we can talk publicly about all these signings now. And you know, there was a specific plan in place for this recruiting class for when we got here, and what we were trying to do. And it was, you know, it was a bridge the gap before we kind of tackle the high school class of 26, which I think in our area is obviously our footprint of South Dakota is where we're going to hammer it. But North Dakota, Minnesota, and there's kids around, and we really feel good about this 26 class and the talent level. And this is just coming from me recruiting South Dakota for a long time and being involved in it. You know, you can only project, right? When you're in the recruiting world, you can't, there's no guarantees in any of that. But it's as strong a class as I've ever seen, you know, and there were days when I was at Dakota Wesleyan, where we were trying to do the same thing, is get the best South Dakota kids. And there were legitimate times where we're like, well, if we don't get this kid or this kid, I'm just not sure of the impact at the college level with the rest of them. It just happens that way. It goes in cycles. And what we've seen out of this 26 class is there's this kid that, you know, you kind of get down there and you start going through, you know, the top players and their potential impact at our level. So with that, we wanted to have room for them. And so we've signed, you know, four one-year transfers. We signed a South Dakota kid that's a college transfer, and we can talk about all these guys. And then another guy who's got years left, but old. This could be the oldest team I'll ever coach in my time, as long as I'm coaching college basketball. You're talking about eight guys who will be in their fourth or fifth year of college athletics. That's an old team. And then you're going to talk about going to maybe the youngest team I've ever coached, the following year. But, That's what, you know, that was the plan. And I have to give a lot of credit to Coach Nelson and Coach Smith for, you know, for our ability to execute that plan. And we're excited about our guys. And, you know, just for people, you know, you talk to a lot of people that have questions about the portal, right? There is such a negative connotation that goes along with it. And for good reasons, for what we see publicly, you know, at the highest level. But there's a ton of kids in the portal. You know, a lot of times for a number of reasons, you know, but, you know, not all of them are these, you know, selfish, evil type kids, right? You know, like, I think we've signed some really good kids that are going to love Aberdeen and love Northern, and people are going to love how they play and their attitudes and the way they buy into the culture and the kind of teammates they're going to be and the way they're going to respond to the coaching and all of it. And, you know, this time, this era of college basketball where, you know, like, well, we just, you know, you're not always going to be dealing with a four-year kid, you know, all the time. And transfers have always been a part of it, but you're going to have Wolves, albeit for maybe 1 or 2 years, you know, and then we don't want to be a revolving door for our roster. And we want to have kids, but kids are jumping around. That's just kind of how it is. And we're going to embrace it, but I'm going to tell the positive story of it all. And I'm excited about these guys and they're excited to be coming to Northern for what Northern is. Cause that's what we recruited them to. You know, we didn't recruit them to Coach Wilbur. We were selling Northern State in Aberdeen, South Dakota. And hey, we were 2-26 last year and your head coach is a WNBA former assistant and we signed a bunch of good kids, you know? And so, you know, I say that as a joke, right? Like, but we're excited about what we've got coming in.
Matt Wilbur joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll have one more question here before we take our first break, but Matt asked this question to Mike Schmidt last year, and it's a fascinating one to me. It's about red shirts. You've signed one in terms of, you signed Brendan Phillips.
Yep.
And typically, freshman year, you red shirt. How do you approach that sort of thing? Is it a conversation you have with them, or are you thinking, hey, if this guy just really is so good in practice, we're going to let him play immediately?
Yeah.
How do you approach the red shirt?
Yeah, in the recruiting process, you're probably talking about that, but the benefit of how the rules are now is you don't have to make that decision until you get into it. You know, you can play a couple of games. There's things you can do where you don't have to, you know, make that decision, you know, first and foremost. And so it's an individual case by case basis, frankly. And, there's other fact, you know, the factor is like, hey, if a kid's a walk-on and they're paying to go to school, that's a factor that, you know, like, I'm not going to force a kid to redshirt. I'm not going to force a kid to redshirt when they're paying for school, because the goal is to, you know, we understand, you know, the cost of higher education. If Northern State is paying for their school, that's a different conversation too, right? Like, hey, if you're a full tuition, full ride, you know, scholarship athlete, you know, this is stuff we can have a pretty, you know, direct conversation about how it is. The benefit of redshirting, though, is there's very few arguments to it, you know, like for development and all of that. But if a kid's ready to play, he's going to play, you know. I look at it as a case by case basis.
Gotcha. Yep. More with head coach Matt Wilbur after a quick break right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll talk about some of these guys that have put pen to paper after this. Matt Wilbur joining us here live in studio, and we're talking off the air. Shout out to your kids who are competing at a pretty high level on the high school golf tournament here this last weekend.
Hey, yeah, my identical twins, Ben and AJ, are seniors. They just graduated, and then my gonna be a senior, Nate. They were all on Hanson's high school team, along with one other guy, Will Jardine. They were in Watertown. They won the state B's 2 years ago. 2 years ago, they lost by one stroke to Westington Springs, and this year they won by one stroke and beat Wall. So they were about to be the Buffalo Bills of the 90s. They would have had three runners up in a row, and so they got it done. They're pretty fired up. Now they think they're a dynasty. You know, like, now they think they're goofballs, man. But it's been fun to watch them do that. I was telling you, I was unofficially our high school coach out at Hanson. I mean, I couldn't duel coach the Dakota Wesleyan Tigers and the Hanson High School golf team, but I got my certification so I could actually, when you're a coach, you can, you know, I was our on the course coach. So you walk around and tell the guys what to do and, you know, give them some advice. And, you know, I was about, two or three holes into watching my Watertown because parents can't talk to the kids. So now I'm going out there as a parent. Last year when I was watching the state tournament from our Golf Genius app in Phoenix and in Seattle, which was miserable as they're posting scores. And then this year I'm walking in Watertown and equally miserable, standing 30 yards away going, this is the worst decision I've ever seen him make, you know, and not being able
to. 7-iron, yeah, what are you doing?
But yeah. And more like 3-wood, right? Like you can, it's hard to go wrong with a 7-iron. But I was like, I did tell one of my kids during a state tournament, I'm like, you know, if you pull the 3-wood out, we're not going to have to worry about it much because I'm going to snap it over my leg because you don't need this to get the score you want. So I went from having all the access to zero. But it was a lot of fun, and credit to those guys. They got a state championship. They put a lot into it, but they definitely are the Ricky Fowlers of South Dakota golf. They had pink pants, and, I mean, they're as much into the style as anything. So they had fun with it.
Nice. Well, we had Ryan Deal on, and he was saying that he saw your wife there in very, very high intensity moments. So
yeah, she that's the only golf tournament she was going to go to.
Sure.
Like she could not watch it. She was like, "Listen, I got too nervous," and it was hard. I mean, I could get away from it, and when you're coaching, you can talk to them, so the anxiety levels down. But as parents, you can just see parents dying 1,000 deaths out there, man. You know, it's like hands on the head because it's tough. It's tough to watch golf, and it's tough to watch them golf when it's not going well. So, credit to those guys. Wall has a great team. The guy, a Schultz kid, won the individual tournament. And down the stretch, our guys had to do a lot. So, like, one of our third golfers who started with us when he was a sophomore, really, terribly nervous, shooting in the 90s, and was up and down. You don't see this much in golf. You see kids kind of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders are really good, and they just keep being good. But this guy got better, and he had to make a 6-foot putt to shoot a 76 in front of the entire gallery on hole 18 to win the whole thing, and that was a pretty cool moment. So a shout-out to Will Jardine on that one.
Yeah,
so.
Those are the ones that I miss, right?
Yeah, for sure.
We all miss them. We all miss them. So.
All right, let's talk about these guys that have officially put pen
yep.
to paper as we're, again, talking some Northern State basketball with head coach Wilbur, as Lane Teets, Brendan Phillips, Nelson Reynolds, Ben Bowen, Josh Book, Ty Rogers, and Simon, I'm going to go with Akina.
Yep, you're right.
They have
nailed
all,
it.
All right. So those guys have all officially put pen to paper here. And a lot of transfer guys, a couple of local guys in
yep.
there too. What do you
yep.
like about this
well,
class?
Well, there's some really skilled length for how we're going to play. I think these guys, a lot of them fit the style. That was kind of part of it. The other side is just kind of the mentality. You know, you have these four-year guys are either coming from, hey, I didn't get a lot of minutes and I want to prove myself, or I haven't won a lot and want to win, and talking about the right things. A lot of them are, you know, the guys that, you know, the word culture came up a lot when we're recruiting them. The other side of it is none of these guys are coming here without some kind of connection. You know, we didn't, you know, these weren't needle in the haystack type guys. We Simon Akina, played junior college basketball for my former assistant at Dakota Wesleyan. Ty Rogers played for Jack Nelson at Mary. Ben Bowen was connected to Sam Mastin. Nelson Reynolds, you know, he was a Sundance Wicks connection, you know, and so he comes from a basketball family from Peoria. His brother Noah was committed to Wisconsin, ended up playing for Sonny at Wisconsin Green Bay. Really, really, Noah was a great player. So, obviously, Lane Teets is a local kid. I recruited him at Dakota Wesleyan. We were just kind of loaded. I had Randy Rosenquist and Oliver Vincent, and he wanted to play right away, and he knew it, so he went to Dakota State. I love the fact that he wants to be here. He wants to come back. And so Josh Book, transferring from Missouri Western, that's obviously where Coach Weston Smith was at. And so, and Brendan Phillips, local kid. And so we had a connection to every one of them. And I like, you know, just the, there's a blend of, you know, what we needed to add and versatility in their games. And again, I've been doing this for a long time. And you just never know until they get in here. And so I'm never going to oversell in the recruiting world. I've seen that played out, and you can set people up. But I'm cautiously optimistic about what this group will be. But there'll be a lot of work to be done blending the roster of guys coming back and then bringing in a lot of new guys. And so there's no question this year is going to look a lot like a pro model of free agents, right? Like, hey, you're doing this and then getting them going and getting them moving in the right direction. And I love that. I love that process. That's what really fires me up about this job is, you know, because I don't care if you're a new coach or you're a returning coach. I don't care if you won the national title or you didn't have a successful year. Every year is a new culture within your culture. Like, every year is a start over. You add one piece, it's going to be different. And obviously, we're a new coaching staff. Everything's going to be different, but everything's new. And my message to this entire group, which we're spread across the globe right now, our group is, so you stay connected through messaging. And the message is, hey, everybody's been a part of a lot of different cultures, a lot of different coaches, teammates, but nobody's been a part of this culture and had an impact on Wolves culture for this year. And that's where our focus is at, and how are we going to impact that, and how are we going to do that, and here are the messages we want to start pushing right now. But I think talented group. I think it's going to be a physical group and a long, you know, kind of athletic group, albeit not a 6'10", 6'11", 7-footer until you get to Jake Cool, you know, on our roster, and we'll see. So yeah.
So I mentioned this earlier this week when this came out, or when I saw this, but now it's about building chemistry. You got
yep.
the guys in
yep.
here, right?
Yep.
You want these guys, you know, you talk to them, you recruit them in here. You mentioned kind of they all have ties. Now it's about building chemistry,
yep.
right?
Yep. And like I said, you know, where I think there could be a positive, and I'm, you know, You're always gonna hear a positive spin from me on anything, but I think the positive here is you have guys with so much experience that they've seen the good and the bad of college. You know, they, you know, all of them have had success and failure, and have, you know, when I start talking about, hey, this is what a good teammate looks like, this is what a bad team looks like, they have tangible experience to that. When you start bringing in, when you have freshman high schoolers coming in, I mean, if a high school senior coming to college goes, well, this isn't what I really expected from college. And my answer to that is easy. How many college programs you been a part of to have any expectation for anything? So you have guys that have, you know, expectations of what this is going to look like and have experience of the good and the bad. And I love that, because I can go, hey, you haven't had this way, and you know what it is. And so the message is, you know what a good teammate is, so be that teammate. You know what it takes, and you know what you don't like, so don't be that teammate. And those conversations you have a ton of those types of conversations when you're recruiting kids, because it doesn't happen in a 2-hour span. You know, you're recruiting them over time. Even if it's a couple of weeks, you're talking to a kid a lot and you're getting down into it with them. And so every one of the kids, the culture, the experience, those things matter to them. And I do think if you get them moving in the right direction together, and that's the focus every day, the winning is a byproduct of that, you know. So I'm excited about them. I do think the way we're going to play from a motion standpoint and moving the ball around and doing all this stuff, I think we have guys that fits. And it'll come down to how well we shoot. You know, it'll come down to making shots. And everything you do in college basketball, it's crazy of all the time you put into it, it usually comes down to making a shot. And so we'll see here.
Head coach Wilbur joining us live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. The guys that were on the team last year, how many of those guys are back this year?
Yeah.
Is the website pretty up to date?
It is. We updated it. And so you're talking about, you know, one of my first ones, you know, when we got started, and I know when you guys had me on last, it was, hey, what are we going to do? What is this going to look like? Everything was new. But so the plan was right away, when I got the job, there wasn't going to be a gut reaction to what the roster was going to look like from the previous roster. I came in eyes wide open. I wanted to have my eyes and ears on what was happening in the gym and make an evaluation. And I frankly said, hey, listen, and I'm not watching much film from last year. I don't think that's going to do anybody any good, just because we're going to play differently, and it's not a criticism of that. And I've gone back and watched some film, but going into it, I really didn't. And so there were a couple guys that were like, hey, I want to get back closer to home. And there were a couple guys we moved on from, frankly, and just said, and we've got, you know, we've got James Glenn was a big piece right away. I know he had 1 year left, and he had options to go other places. And the recruiting process with him and everybody was started. Hey, here's what we're doing. And we chose him to come back. He's coming back. Toby Obiora is coming back. His story's great. I'm excited about him and his development, especially after talking to Coach Neer. And what he's done in the weight room and what he came in as and hearing that, because I wasn't a part of that. And so without putting a lot of expectations on him, you know, he's got 2 years left. And a lot of times you see with a big after their best years are their, you know, those last 2 years, especially with bigs, because things get figured out. And I've got a lot of experience with, you know, hey, this guy popped off his junior and senior year. Now, I don't know what that looks like for Toby, but I will tell you this. It's not from a lack of work. He's done a ton of work in the weight room, and you talk about Coach Neer being like, we kind of had to talk about running and how you move the weight, and I can, you can visualize what that would look like if they're really raw. And so he's moving in the right direction. And then Devin Brook coming back, you know, I think he'll slide. You know, I had a guy at Dakota Wesleyan, Sam McLeod, who's a Rapid City kid, 6'8", very physical, never posted, you know, never played inside. You know, and we used him as a stretch five, and he could shoot the ball very deep. And I think that's our vision with Devin, is slide him down into what would look like a post, but hopefully having a post player on him based on how we're going to play, just because he can stretch the floor so well. Another one that people haven't seen here is Marley Bayaboa, and you know, he hasn't played in 2 years. He hasn't played in 2 years. He didn't play his senior year of high school, and he didn't play here. And had he played his senior year in high school, he's probably not at Northern. You know, like he was playing for a really good AAU program. All those guys at D1 Minnesota is his program, and he looks the part. He was one guy when I was on campus and interviewing, and I was in the locker room talking to our guys for the first time. He stuck out. He just was engaged. The hot button points I was making, he was responding. You know, you could just feel the nonverbal, and he's been great, and I'm really excited for him. You just never know. It'll be his first time in 2 years playing, but he's recovering from a knee. He's kind of full send now and going, and we'll see what he's like coming back. And then Braden Van Bokeren, who played minutes last year, and they pulled his red shirt. You know, it's one of those, hey, we needed to do it from an injury standpoint, and he played. I'm excited about him. And then, you know, I talked about Jake Cool. He was a redshirt last year. He's got to get his eligibility moving, and he's going to get that done. And so you talk about those guys and the blend of that. I think it's going to be a competitive locker room and a competitive gym, you know, from a practice standpoint, and those guys will sort that out. So I like the returners coming back. I can't give them enough credit, because there's no doubt we're in a cultural reset, which you would be, again, no matter what was going on. It's a cultural reset with a new coach. We could have won the national title here, and it's a cultural reset just because a new voice is here. And I give our guys a ton of credit for, you know, what we want to do. And I joke with them, we want to lead the country in back screens and high fives. And these guys have kind of embraced that kind of energy and the style of play that we're going to try to put out there.
Take a quick break. More with head coach Wilbur after this. We'll wrap up the show after a quick timeout. Wrapping up this Thirsty Thursday installment of the Sports Hub with head coach Matt Wilbur. What were they calling you at your previous place? They mispronounced your name or something like that?
What's that?
Am I thinking of somebody else? Didn't someone call you Mike Wilbur or something like that?
I don't know. I don't.
I think we had.
I get called a lot of names, so I just kind of take it and let it roll off my back. So I don't really pay a lot of attention to it.
Yeah, I don't remember. I thought it was with you, because we had you on the first time, and either somebody was giving you a mispronunciation of either your last name or your first name.
I don't know, man.
Do all the media stuff. You can't remember all the stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
I get that. But Matt Wilbur joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. So my next question, I guess, is the roster complete? Are you looking to add more?
I mean, we technically could, but right now we're just kind of seeing what we have, you know, and what would be out there. And so, you know, there would have to be a special situation with what we've got. And so, yeah, you know, the we've got right now 15 guys, you know, on the roster, and that's a great number. You know, that's a good number, and we wouldn't add, you know, any more. You know, like, you know, it would be maybe one or two more with it, but yeah, I just you know, you jump into it and you go after it, and you know, I will say, you know, it, the beauty of I just recruiting in Aberdeen and recruiting and walking, you know, like just the rhythm of what our visits look like and how we've done them, you know, walking kids around the Barnett Center and talking about Northern basketball. Boy, it's been an easy spiel. You know, it's been an easy, you know, we have had, surprisingly, a lot of South Dakota kids. We've had a ton of visits. And Jack Nelson, who's been doing this for a while, he's like, this is more visits than I've ever done. You know, we've had a ton of kids on campus, and that we're going to have scholars. You know, when you talk about having this many seniors, right? So for sure, you start looking at our roster, you can see there's going to be scholarships open for next year. So we're on top of that with a lot of unofficials with high school kids. But the number of South Dakota kids we've had on campus that have never been in the Barnett Center, you know, like if they're AA kids, they're going to play at Aberdeen Central, right? You know, so those, they've seen pictures and they've seen the images, you know, like if they're class A or class AA kids, they see the state Bs, but we're not all at the same spot. So they see the images and then they get in there and they just have been blown away by all of the facilities, just the campus and everybody we know what has been put into it over the last decade. Right. And most recently the last 5 years. So visits have been great. It's been fun to show off, and it's been a very easy recruiting pitch with kids. So, you know, we're moving. We can't speak publicly about, you know, the high school side of it, but we, you know, we've already got a commitment, you know, and so we feel good about moving in that direction and adding a few more as this summer goes on. But yeah, it's been fun to get going and diving into the recruiting side of it.
How about the schedule? Can you talk about?
Yeah,
that
you know, that will there'll be a schedule release as well too. We've got to finalize a couple of contracts, but the cool thing about the schedule is what, you know, is the NSIC is going back to the unbalanced north and south, right? And
yep.
So the 14 games against the north and the 8 against the south, and obviously that's a good model for Northern. We feel that's a good, you know, that's a good pathway for Northern and what our basketball schedule will look at like. Non-conference, we've got a regional challenge we'll be going to at Oklahoma City. We're going to the Wisconsin Dells for a classic and a couple of D2 games. We have, you know, to tease, you know, got two D1 exhibitions, you know, potentially against former Wolves, you know, so those that's been fun to be in contact and getting those finalized. So I think our guys are going to appreciate our schedule and I think it'll be a fun schedule for our fan base. And if people are willing to travel and move around, there could be a couple of fun weekends, you know, as far as Division I games go for us playing in an exhibition standpoint. So we'll get that all finalized as well. And there'll be a release on that. I would guess, you know, this will be the earliest a schedule's probably been done for me. You know, normally you're going into July, sometimes August to finalize it. So yeah, we're looking forward to getting, you know, I got the job and didn't have a schedule finalized, didn't have a roster, and you know, we're kind of moving in that direction. So it's been good to tackle some of that stuff.
It's all come together very, very quickly. We're going to be a tad over. Cobra, do you have anything more for Coach Wilbur?
I'm good.
All right. I think I'm yeah, all good too.
Yeah.
This has been awesome.
We could
literally do like multiple hours with you, and it'd be appreciated. I know you're a pretty busy guy.
I'm not busy enough to, you know, this is all right. I could sit here and talk about our basketball program as long as you'd want me to. But you know, this is the world we live in, and I, you know, the stuff you guys are talking about, hit pretty close to home for me all the time. And I will give us credit. A lot of interviews we do get, you know, we only got off the rails a little bit talking about my kids and golf. And so sometimes these interviews, we don't even talk about my basketball program and what we have going on. So I appreciate us staying on task a little bit.
All right. No, all right. Yeah. Well, you mentioned old school, and it was Mitchapalooza, so we got Mattapalooza.
Like I said, this is the very tempered version of what's going on with old school. I mean, if you were to come, very much so. If you were to stop by that house at any given moment, you're watching us. We're watching NBA and WNBA games sitting there, and moving in. It's pretty boring around our house. But like I said, it's been fun to fly that flag on State Street. So we hope seeing that a little bit more.
Not quite Frank the Tank.
Yeah, no Frank the Tanks.
Right. We got a nice Saturday plan.
We don't have a Bed Bath and Beyond.
That's about it. You'll see us driving out to. We finally are at a point where I don't feel like I got to be at Menards and Walmart every day to stock it up. So anywhere else, right?
Nice little Saturday. Little visit with you here.
Yeah,
Coach.
Thanks guys.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, we'll thanks
be
guys.
In touch. Absolutely. All right. Head Coach Matt Wilbur here in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. That's it for us. Colin Cowherd's coming up at the top of the hour.